Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, thank you. Short and sweet. Still, if nothing else, we can at least say clean sheets. Welcome to the podcast companion for issue 524, of course, the Men from the Den, as we're referring to. Actually, the Men from the New Den, to be precise. Welcome, as ever, Rob Nichols, editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon, without whom, quite frankly, no show whatsoever, really. Very important. So how are you? Yeah, it's interesting. Online, of course, a gentleman who actually appears, page 19, I see, with a line, being a Middlesbrough fan in Lincoln and Cambridge, colon, a rare breed, question mark. Who might that be then? I think it's Daniel Baker, isn't it? It is, yeah, exactly. Let me just touch that microphone, Rob, because I think we've... work the other thing through. There we are, that's sort of through. I think that's a lot better.
Okay.
That seems to be fine. Right. Are you coming through nice and clearly? Yes, it's like a sound check. You can tell that things have reached the stage with respect to following Middlesbrough Football Club where we're actually sort of doing a sound check at the start of the show, live for the listener.
Yeah.
It's becoming very, very strange in all sorts of ways. Anyway, hello, Daniel, are you well?
I'm very well, thank you. They're trapped yourselves.
Okay.
Was it... I mean, all we can say is, as I'm looking at the league table and I'm seeing those Brighton boys now snapping at the heels of sixth place, to which obviously the Borough Braves are clinging tenaciously. It would have been nice to have had 3 points against Burnley, wouldn't it?
Yes, but I think it was very important to stop the rot. The four goals that we conceded at Crystal Palace coming not that long after the four goals that we conceded at Ipswich meant that it was very important to shut up the...
It's time to acknowledge that, as Tony Mowbray needs to tell his lads, four play is not four goals. It's a completely different area you're working with, you know? It's different perspective entirely. But certainly with respect to injuries and a variety of other bits and pieces, it wasn't good. Return of Scott McDonald, of course.
Well, we hope he's going to be returning for Saturday. Maybe with it being a tea time kickoff, it gives him a little bit, bit longer to be ready. What we have to do is hold our nerve because, of course, we may well be relegated from sixth spot by the time we actually start playing. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's a frightening thought, but
it's the opposite to last when we were on TV against Sheffield Wednesday earlier in the season on the Friday night, where we won and went top for a few hours. This time it's dropping out of the promotion race altogether before you start. So you mustn't let that build any more pressure on you.
No. Underlying themes for the show today, clearly Danny Baker is a keen Millwall supporter. Just thought I'd mention that. We've already mentioned that Daniel Baker has got an article in the whole piece and Mike Baker also returns from that point of view. So it's one to actually, for the completists, I would have thought, really.
Not quite a Baker's dozen, but getting on the way.
Exactly. So we'll be sort of focusing on a whole variety of other bits and pieces. Daniel, what are your thoughts as far as progress is made, because of course you were right with the Leeds results, not a correct scoreline, but you did predict 2-1 to Middlesbrough. Of course 1-0, Curtis Main scoring was indeed the result for that. I mean, do you feel as though we're all doomed now, or is it just a case of it's alright, hang on in there as we look towards April, home games against Peterborough, Brighton and Nottingham Forest in April? It could all turn round for then.
Well, I think I'd like to stress that there's no such thing as an easy game in that league, and as we've seen all season long, that anybody can beat anybody, and I mean, we have been very fortunate in a lot of ways to have not dropped out of that top six. It's been a case of other teams around us not capitalising. I mean, Brighton and Blackburn was a great example of the week, and they, either of them could have really closed the gap, but they played out a stalemate at the Amex. So, but, at the moment, I think we've got to be optimistic. We've got to keep our heads up, but, at the moment, it's not great, because our goal difference is so poor. We conceded four goals at Palace, four goals at Ipswich, and something's got to change. We've got to start getting the results round again, because it'll be what we did last season, just completely fall out of the race altogether and not even get in the playoffs, and that would be for the point of it, because it's back to square one next season, and we need this league to stop the rot and get going again, really.
It's a goal difference of plus one at present, really. So not the finest, it has to be said, in terms of comparative things, particularly when we actually look at Cardiff with a goal difference of plus 20. But I think it's probably fair to say we will be ruling out automatic promotion at this particular moment in time.
It looks difficult.
Never mind. Let us progress, as I say. The good news is the road to Wembley is getting easier almost on a daily basis,
yeah.
really. Australia. I think, you know, quite, I mean, now that Chelsea are so occupied in Europe with the Europa League club, Rafa Benitez lost the plot, etc. I can clearly see no worries with respect to the upcoming cup game, which we will be talking about after we've taken our usual show break. Also coming up, some words from Stanis Stan. Have we got any Kadeem Hussein poetry in this week?
No,
that's all right. We'll be talking about trips to London and beyond that are actually faced with from that point of view, and indeed news about a borough power chair fundraising night. All this and more on Fly Me to the Moon's audio companion podcast for issue 524.
In your lifetime, you'll spend 1,286 hours drying your hair, 3,620 hours in queues, and 9,800 hours stuck in traffic. All we're asking you for is one. We need volunteers to donate an hour of their time to help collect money for the Great Daffodil Appeal. The money you raise will help Marie Curie Cancer Care nurse terminally ill people in their final hours. Simply visit the Marie Curie website to sign up. The hour you donate could help someone in their final hours.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. One tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Well, that was a sharp ending, wasn't it? I don't know. We spend all the sort of things there expecting Ali Brownlee to actually do her little bit, his little bit. It's unbelievable. There we are. It's Fly Me to the Moon. As you can see, clearly, however, the good news is we've sorted out the back four and microphones are working perfectly.
Which hello.
It's exactly.
I'm here now.
It's just, it is quite astounding. Listen, as it's Daniel's debut in the Fly Me to the Moon routine, what did you make of his article, Rob? I mean, you know, obviously we could quote from it if you wish. But, you know, just in terms of the craft that he actually put together, what sort of things...
A good solid first appearance, I think.
Yeah, and did you feel it's the sort of thing which bodes well for future material in terms of lines? Can we look forward to... I mean, obviously, he's become a regular on the audio sort of podcast.
That's right.
What about the other sort
I think
of
it's good to tie the two things together, isn't it? Yeah, I hope he will write some more, because obviously, he obviously does a lot of research before he comes on the radio, and he knows more about stuff than I do.
Middlesbrough are quite an easy team to follow in Scarborough, as the North East newspapers are readily available, and being considered North Yorkshire to some, they were one of the top, if not the top, representatives for the county. Living in Cambridge 5 months in the year means it's not so easy to get to games. See, that's crafting words of wisdom, that, you see.
Cambridge isn't close to any Premier League club, is it, really?
Not these days, no. But it's a different line entirely.
Not that we're in the Premier League, what are we talking about?
Well, yeah, there's a different side of things. So great news. So, let's talk Chelsea. You know, clearly, lots of history with this club side. I was there, May the 25th, 1988, Borough versus Chelsea, the first division playoff final. Actually, I was there for Chelsea versus Borough. I think it was the second leg. Stamford Bridge, the Battle of the Bridge.
Yeah.
Exactly. Particularly when I was sat amongst the Chelsea supporters. Oh, that's extraordinary. Obviously,
must have been very quiet that day.
But
we've clashed a lot and in a lot of key games, and unfortunately that playoff game is probably the only one of the key games that springs to mind that we've actually won. Mm. I suppose we did win the opening game at the Riverside, which was Ruud Gullit Chelsea, but we've lost a lot of big cup matches, obviously, to Chelsea, including three Wembley finals.
Yes.
There's quite a lot to...
To be precise, 1997. Yeah. May the 17th, of course, with that Bob DiMatteo doing the business from that point of view.
42 seconds, wasn't it?
Exactly. Mm. Then, of course, the 1998 Coca-Cola Cup Final, or fizzy drink scenario from that
perspective. That was Gaza playing, wasn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was the as far as actual finals was concerned.
Well, our first ever Wembley
the
finals.
Zenit Data Systems Cup. Well, yes. I do recall, actually, Dirigo. Mr. Mowbray... patting one of the Borough lads on his rear end. I think it might have been Pallister, because Mowbray was injured for that day.
And he led the teams out, didn't he?
He led the team out, exactly, because it was the first ever sort of line for that. Probably, actually, March 25th, 1990, before Daniel Baker was born. Standing. Still, never mind. He's followed through. So what do you think, Daniel? Chances against Chelsea? Would you say, 80% guaranteed win? It's in the bag? You know, we're already booking the tickets for Old Trafford now? Or, you know, going to be slightly more challenging?
I wouldn't go so far as 80%, but I certainly think it's a winnable game from our point of view, because, if we can get the crowd behind us, get the seats full, that'll certainly galvanise. And I think Chelsea are a team in which the European champions, but they didn't exactly play their way there. I think actually, in a lot of ways, that you know, there was a lot of anti-football going on in their Champions League semi-final against Barca and also against Bayern. And actually, you know, their shortcomings have been exposed in the league as well. I mean, they lost at West Ham just before Christmas, and they were unfortunately very horribly exposed. Even with the likes of John Terry in the team, they've been horribly exposed. And there's all this sort of hoo-ha going on behind the scenes about the management, as you well know, that they can't keep a manager for more than 5 minutes, it seems. And you can't have that. You need that stability in a football club. Even as big as Chelsea, even when you've got players who can deliver, you still need stability. And the fact they've got a £50 million striker in Fernando Torres, who doesn't deliver, it certainly gives us plenty to think about. And, you know, it's definitely a game in which we can perform very well. Even if we don't win it, we can still perform very credibly.
Interesting thoughts. I mean, it's the first time we've played Chelsea for, 4 or 5 years now? Suppose.
Very well. Since
the Premier League, Now, never mind. It'll all work through. We mentioned, obviously, the Baker scenario that's there, and clearly the celebrity fan for Millwall, which is what this programme is focusing on primarily, is a certain Danny Baker. Mike Baker, not Mr. Happy, is he, really? You know, he effectively sort of finishes with Turf Moor could have been the place where an unlikely turnaround in Borough's fortunes begins, built on against a team safely in mid-table. I don't think he would wouldn't necessarily say that the sort of point that they actually got was necessarily sort of in form, really. I mean, we have three sort of key things. Not enough investment in the team. Mowbray's not up to the job. Would you be worried if you were Tony Mowbray, Rob? I mean, what do you think? Do you sense that he's kind of, you know, a bit confused at this stage, that things could be going? Is he any fair? I mean, it would be heartrending to actually, you know, part with the manager at this stage, but we look around at all the other clubs that have been doing all sorts of stuff, and who knows what could happen.
I think that's our strength, isn't it? That we've got a chairman that gives the manager a chance, and we've hopefully got a crowd that gives the manager a chance as well. I think what you'll see Mike Baker concludes is that Mowbray is the man, and that it's circumstances in many respects. We're trying to build a team to get promotion on the back of cutting a wage bill season by season.
Plus, let's be honest, Tony Mowbray would not necessarily sit well with Gordon Strachan and Gareth Southgate on the ITV pundit bench, would he, really?
No, it's funny, actually, but in this particular fanzine, when I'm writing my review of the Burnley game, there was a guy in front who was shouting out about the players and getting more and more exasperated until he finally, in the last 5 minutes, shouted out, "Bring back Gordon Strachan." And I think
did he get his coat after that one? Really, I would have thought. I mean, surely
he didn't say another word. I think he maybe a flash of realization.
I mean, I can appreciate that Mike Baker refers to another little station, I think called BBC Tees, which refers to a caller arguing that Gareth Southgate wouldn't have let things slide like this.
It happens to clubs, doesn't it? It happened to Sunderland and Newcastle, for instance, this season, where you get into this run of bad form. You can get into a run of good form like Newcastle did last season. You equally get into a run of bad form. You get that downward momentum. How do you get out of it? We hoped we'd got out of it, Middlesbrough, by winning against Leeds, but then we are crushed. We were terrible at Crystal Palace. We made it so easy for them. But hopefully keeping it tight at Burnley and getting that 0-0, hopefully, if we can go and beat Millwall, then those tactics have been justified.
It is the time of the season where we take one game at a time and we don't sort of take things for granted. March is going to be crucial. Home games against Cardiff, away games to Huddersfield, away to Bristol City, and then a couple of home games. Well, actually, a home game against Birmingham and away to Wolves. If there are reasonable returns from there, April, you're talking about four home games.
Yes.
We have Peterborough, we have Brighton, we have Nottingham Forest and Charlton Athletic, and the away games Hull and Bolton. So,
absolutely. It's true that if you could get a run, if you could get the momentum when it matters, which is April, with those four home games, you could put yourself into a very strong position indeed. We're much stronger at home than we are away. And if we can just get 1 point away and guarantee 3 points at home, then that will put us in a strong position, won't it?
So, Daniel, cause for optimism? I mean, a case of you'll be strutting around the streets of Lincoln saying, "Come on, Borough, come on," or equivalent to that sort of line of things. What's the sort of viewpoint there?
Well, having run through those fixtures, I can certainly think of getting, you know, 12 points at least. I mean, sort of when you roll the names off, there were certainly games which are winnable. Huddersfield away, I mean, is a winnable game. Birmingham, again, they've got a lot of problems off the field, which I think has distracted them this season. At Wolves, again, they're a team who can, well, you know, they've been knocked out of the cup by non-league opposition, and themselves have just had, you know, two very interesting managers, shall we say. I think particularly the first one was no one's to do about that one. That was not the best performance in Stormers Holbach. And but no, they're definitely going to be, you can see the points being gained, but at the moment you need to start picking that up again, because I mean, having noticed that at the moment Hull City are really picking up, and the three Egyptians they've signed have really given them some extra firepower, so we really need to up our game. But no, as I said, there's definitely some points available, and we need to get them, basically.
It's quite extraordinary. You've got Egyptians for Hull City, you've got Italians, in fact, really second division Italian team sort of turning out for Watford these days.
Yeah.
Or is it sort of a B team? It's amazing. You know?
Udinese, actually, isn't it?
Yes, the Football League are changing the rules so that can't occur next season.
Yeah, a little bit.
Possibly a bit late for this season, but
extraordinary, actually, that they've taken this long to notice that all these players coming into Watford.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, surely the importation of spaghetti bolognese and various other factors would have sort of argued that whole point. Never mind. Serious note, Luke Parkinson writes about support for his Gary Parkinson, of course, and a really heartfelt piece, this. Looking towards the tour for Parky Bike Ride, which kicks off in July. Share with us, Rob, why is this just a crucial thing for a chap who actually obviously served Borough extremely well in his time?
Yeah, I saw Luke at Turf Moor at Burnley on Tuesday, because Gary Parkinson is somebody that both clubs share. He was a hero at Burnley. He's on the mural outside the ground, because I think he scored a penalty for their playoff success when they were back on their way up, because remember they're in the bottom division. And both sets of fans were chanting his name on Tuesday as Luke went on the pitch and thanked everybody. And it's basically just to keep Gary's name in everybody's thoughts. He's back home now, but he gets physio. He has a lot of needs, obviously, and they need the money to keep coming in, and they need people to remember him. And in summer there's going to be this great bike ride where everybody can join in, and it's cycling between all the clubs that Gary played for. But you don't need to go across the Pennines or anything like that. Everyone can take part, and it's a small payment, and hopefully a lot of money raised for Gary Parkinson with his locked-in syndrome.
Yeah, very much so. And talking about further good works to get involved with, the Powerchair Football Club of Middlesbrough, MPFC, holding a sporting dinner with support of former Middlesbrough players at the Bluebell Hotel, Acklam, on Friday the 8th of March. So worthwhile sort of going on there. You've got the opportunity to speak to Jim Platt, Bernie Slavin, Terry Cochran, and indeed young goalkeeper Connor Ripley, son, of course, of Stuart, will actually be there, plus the opportunity to win a Carling Cup final Borough shirt, signed, of course, by match winner Bolo Zenden. So interesting line on that, and something which I think, again, is good to support. Rosie Swift is the club fundraiser, and you can purchase tickets for these. Mia, two £10 notes will bring you the £20 required to actually sort of get one of those fine tickets. Rosie Swift Club fundraiser. She can be reached on 01642 512735. That's 01642 512735. So great news as far as that's actually concerned. Okay then, Daniel, predictions. What do you think the Middlesbrough and Millwall game is going to bring to us? What's the score going to be from the Daniel Baker thought on the topic?
Well, Millwall are a team which we've seen already this season. They've performed pretty elegantly. They're pretty solid. They've got players who know the division. You know, they've got people like Mike Taylor in goal, who's been there and done it. And, you know, they've done very well in the cup as well for themselves. But I can't help seeing them. Actually, their cupman has been a distraction, because Peterborough put five past them in the week, as we've seen. So
that's right, yeah.
They've definitely got their frailties, you know, and they can certainly be caught out. And I think, really, even though we've equally got a couple of distractions for ourselves, it's a game that's certainly very winnable. I mean, actually, the morale for them, having lost 5-1, will be a lot lower than ours, having drawn 0-0 on the back of a 4-1. So it'll be a very tight game. I mean, they'll challenge us. They've got players in there who are home internationals and otherwise. And I think it's definitely a game we're not going to thrash them as such, but I certainly would go with a similar line along the Leeds game and go with a 2-1 win for Borough.
There we are, sorted out. Of course, it is very much a cricketing trio of things we've got. The MCC, Millwall, Chelsea, and then Cardiff. You can see we're stretching for the
end of
this
stage. We're nearing the season, aren't we? The cricketing
exactly.
season. Nearing.
Yes, Mark McIlvany is also fairly positive. Quotes the line that supporters don't change allegiances, so why be negative and grumpy and critical? Arguing that we should be much more positive about the whole thing. And Matthew Brown settling for a point gained rather than two lost. So as he wraps up with Millwall now standing in the way of Borough's bid to resurrect their success on Saturday evening. As you mentioned, Rob, it is televised for the Rupert Murdoch organisation, if nothing else. Also, it's a case of how the thing is actually developing. Because, as we say, Peterborough proved in beating Millwall 5-1 that all things are possible and probably, you know, will occur.
Didn't Peterborough beat Cardiff at Cardiff early in the season? They were the first team to beat them there, weren't they?
Yeah. So how do people get hold of the paper copies and indeed subscribe for the remaining parts of Fly Me to the Moon, the fantastic paper magazine itself?
Probably best to email me at robshrug as in the shoulders, robshrug@gmail.com, or go to the website, www.fmttm.com. There's still a few matches left, I suppose, this season to subscribe to, but and you can get back issues as well.
And indeed, if you happen to be in Middlesbrough or fancy sort of just having a little drive into the area or communicating in those sorts of ways, there are various stores, including Borough Bookworm and indeed Middlesbrough Programmes that can actually...
Oh, Borough Programmes at 58 Parliament Road is a great treasure trove of memorabilia. And do go in Borough Bookworm, which is in Forbes Buildings on Lithgow Road, because they've got fantastic, as well as lots of Flymouth the Mill, it's got a fantastic borough section in there now of some great old borough books.
I feel in many ways we've actually gone through that kind of metaphor for Middlesbrough season. We started off with, you know, working out which microphone was working, functioning various other bits and pieces,
yep,
addressing a whole other set of factors, got the thing sorted through. It's now plain sailing, as I say, onwards to a double promotion and a Wembley appearance.
Oh, let's hope so.
It's extraordinary. It's gone very quiet. Anyway, that's it. Seven words to actually wrap up the sequence with. After three, a one, a two, a three.
Come on, Borough.
And up the Borough.
Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.